was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out that grave. Your freedom is all that I know. The old man knew Jesus when I met you. You called my name and I ran out that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Your glory, I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you found me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. You called my name and I ran out that grave.
Darkness, my God, that is. Thank you. And I see angels that praise His holy name. And I sing praises, I sing praises. I give you all, worthy Jesus. And I see glory is falling in this place. And I see hope restored, the healing of all diseases. I sing praises, I sing praises. Give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory. Thank you. mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Through the fire, darkest nights, you are close like no other. Known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. So bad. Every breath that I am breathing, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of
tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Holy Spirit is our precious gift from God, whom we celebrate today. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day that the Holy Spirit came and rested upon believers. The Bible says that tongues of fire appeared over their heads. They began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So today, can we just lift up a praise to God and thank Him for the person of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who not only lives in us, but rests upon us with power so that we can share the goodness of God with the world around us. Hallelujah! 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 We thank You, Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that You are our precious gift from the Father. We thank You, Holy Spirit. Come on, let's sing it again. Let's thank Him for His goodness, the goodness of God. Hallelujah! Come on, lift up our voices all over this place. Rest in this moment. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you right now. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Just receive from the Holy Spirit in this moment. Let Him speak to you. I can literally feel the goodness of God in this room. There's a special anointing in this room right now. Don't miss this moment. Receive it. Those of you watching at home, receive this moment. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's give God one more big hand of praise. Praise the Lord. So as we are in this unique time, we're doing things a little bit differently. So we are going to go ahead and take up our offering. But this morning, we're going to invite you to come forward and place your offering in the bucket. Or if you like, at the end of the service, as you're walking out, you can drop your offering in the buckets by the door. God bless.
Be so strong. Guys, guess what? I've got some really great news. You remember how I'm going on my mission to tell people all about Jesus? And I was a little bit scared. I've been afraid to do it. Guess what? Things are going great. You know what I found out? I found out if you will just help somebody do something, then when you're done, that's the perfect time to tell them about Jesus. I mean, there was Mr. Anderson, my next door neighbor. His TV was broken. All it would show was just ones and zeros up and down. I don't know what kind of channel that was, but I used my super spy fixing skills and I fixed his TV. And then I told him about Jesus. And guess what? He came to my church carpenter shop the very next Sunday. Isn't that awesome? And then there was Miss Julie. She needed help crossing the street. So I helped her across the street. And you know what? She was so nice. She said she would pray for me even though she just met me and she didn't even know me. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. And I prayed for her too. And we talked all about Jesus. And then there's Mr. Frank. He's the one with Tiny. He's 91 years old. He's had Tiny since she was a teeny little kid. And I know what you're thinking. Agent G, it looked like that teeny little cat was way stronger than you. You're supposed to be a super spy. You're supposed to be super strong. You know what I say? Nay, nay. There's something you don't know about Tiny. Tiny! Tiny is a tiger. I mean, can you imagine Mr. Frank? He's 91 and he walks this tiger every single day. Of course I had to help him. And you know what I'm gonna do? When I get done walking Tiny, I am gonna tell Mr. Frank all about Jesus. That's right, because you're never too young and you're never too old to hear the good news. I found out that there are so many cool ways that I can use what I'm good at to spread the message of Jesus. But then there are also some things that no matter what kind of secret gadget I have, I can't fix. But I found out something really awesome. Even if I can't fix the problem, I can always pray about the problem. It's just like my buddy James back at the spy school. He was training, he was practicing some spy moves, and guess what? He can do the best scared rabbit of anyone. What? What do you mean, what's a scared rabbit? You've seen me do it before. It's when you get in a really tight spot and there's people all around and you don't want them to see you. You just do like this. And you just don't move. And as long as you're perfectly still, they can't see you. Well, James was so good at the scared rabbit, he was practicing it out in the street. And there was a truck coming, and so he decided he was gonna try and see how good he could do the scared rabbit. He stood, and he got hit. But that's because the scared rabbit only works on people. The trucks don't have eyes, James. They don't care. Anyway, he was in the hospital and I went to see him and he had a broken leg. And you know what? I couldn't fix it. Even though I had all of my cool spy gear and my super spy brain, I couldn't think of any way that I could fix his leg. So you know what I did for James? I prayed for him to get well. And James was so happy after I prayed for him that he started coming to church too. So guys, even if you can't fix the problem, you can always pray about it. And God will always hear you and you can bless people. Sometimes they might be people you don't even know. That's really awesome. I just want to thank you guys so much for helping me out over these past few weeks. I mean, this is all new for me. I, just a few weeks ago, was nothing but a super spy. And now, look at me. I can go out and complete the greatest mission ever. And I thank you guys for your help and Agent M for teaching us so much. As a matter of fact, I think Agent M has something special to teach us right now. See you later, guys.
How do you help others? Like cutting the mute off the microphone. How do you help others? Maybe there you've helped somebody with homework before. Maybe you've helped an elderly person cross the street before. But has there ever been a time, like Agent G was talking about, that you had a friend that had a problem? There was something going on, and you had no idea how to help that person. You know, there, as much as we want to help someone, sometimes there's just nothing that we can do ourselves. But there is someone who can still help. So when we have friends that have a problem that seems too big for us, what can we do? We can pray. We can pray, and that's what we're talking about today, that I can help others when I pray. I can help others when I pray. Today we're going to talk about the story of Peter. If you look at the screen, we're going to have the scripture up there. And Peter, in this story, was in prison. Peter was in prison, but while he was in prison, the church knew that there wasn't anything they could do for him. So what did they do? They prayed. Let's read the story, and it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church prayed hard to God for him. It was the night before Herod was going to bring him to trial. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Two chains held him. Lookouts stood guard at the entrance. If you can go to the next one. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared. A light shone in the prison cell. The angel struck Peter on his side. Peter woke up. Quick, the angel said, get up. The chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. Peter did so. Put on your coat, the angel told him, follow me. But Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards. Then they came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it, and they walked down the street, and suddenly the angel left Peter. After the angel left Peter, Peter realized what he thought was a vision had really happened. The angel had come to release him from prison. So the people, when Peter got out, he went to the home where the people were meeting. You know what they were still doing at that moment? They were praying. They were praying for Peter. And that is why God sent an angel. God answered their prayers and sent an angel to release Peter from prison. Because we can help others when we pray. This prayer is powerful, and prayer really helps other people. And God hears and he answers our prayers. And I have a candle here. And we're going to pretend like this candle is our friend, and our friend is standing nice and tall and shining brightly and just doing really well. She's nice and tall and bright, but let's say tough stuff comes. Maybe it's something that scares our friend. Maybe it's someone in their life that's sick. Maybe they're sick. Something happens, and that tough stuff comes, and then it becomes difficult for our friend to stand nice and tall and bright like they were before. So what can we do for our friend? I can't help them. I can't fix them, but what I can do is I can pray. And you know what? We can't always see prayers. We can't see prayers, but we can pray for others. And when we pray for others, then that is, those around us. So without our prayers, they may have been struggling, but we can pray for them. And with our prayer, then we can help our friends. Even when we don't know how to help them, we can still help them with our prayer because God answers our prayers. It may not always be the way we expect him to answer them, but he always answers our prayers. And prayer is powerful, and we can help others when we pray. Let's pray right now. God, we just thank you so much that prayer is a tool that you have given us, and it is so powerful on this day of Pentecost that we remember how powerful our prayer is. I pray that you would help us when we don't know what to do for someone, that you would remind us that we can pray. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You stand to your feet this morning. Come on, stand to your feet. Let him sing that one more time. Come on. People are starting fires in the streets in America. Come on, let's start a fire here in our souls this morning. Come on, let's start a fire in our soul this morning. Let's fan the flame. Amen. Let's fan the flames to what God is doing. Come on, in my life, in your life, in the lives of His church today. Come on, sing it again one more time. Amen. Amen. Together for the Lord today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we say amen. We say, let it be done. So be it. Let the fires of Pentecost burn again. Let the winds of Pentecost blow again upon our churches, upon our communities, upon our regions, upon our state, upon our nation, Lord, upon our world. Let the fresh wind, the fresh fire that we so desperately need start within our own soul. In Jesus' strong name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. It was prophesied months ago that there would come a day when Pastor Josh would be doing original songs. That was original song right there that he wrote and did. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank God for his goodness. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. Let me say a special thank you to those who are watching online. Being with us week after week is a meaningful thing for us, and we hope it is for you. Thank you for continuing to follow us. We get praise reports. It's amazing. I told Pastor Joy this week, I said, I just can't imagine that, you know, looking back months ago, that we would be where we are right now. I've been blessed to be able to use various means like Zoom. I had a friend of mine ask me this week, hey, can I get on a Zoom call with you? I said, man, I'm Zoomed out, okay? I about Zoomed all I want to Zoom for 1 week. But I've been Zooming with people in counseling, you know, counseling people by Zoom call. And so I'm counseling this person, and he says, hey, he said, man, your church, he said, I've been following you guys online for weeks. And he said, your church did a song about never going back. About just never going back. And I immediately could hear us singing that worship song in the house. I'm not going back. And I said, yeah, when we finish here, I'll send it to you. I'll text it to you as soon as we hang up. And he said, it's been a lifeline for me. And I thought, when I hung up, I thought, wow. I said, isn't it amazing that even though things have happened the way that they have, the ministry has never been closed. Amen. The ministry has never stopped. It's never stopped. I thought it strange. I put it on Facebook just this past week. We're reopened, but how do you reopen something that never closed? You know, we never closed. We never really closed. Yeah, we abided by suggestions, and we tried to adhere to them. We're doing that now. And as you can see, some are not comfortable with that, and we bless them in that. That's their decision to make. And when they're comfortable returning, you know what? They'll be blessed when they do. And if they just have to keep up with social media for this season, that's quite all right too. Some of you saw the post last night where we had an accident in our home, and it wasn't a big accident. Our 13-year-old television hit the ground, and it broke. And I said, I listened to Agent G this morning, and he can fix television. So I'm thinking, hey, why have I got it on the trailer getting ready to throw it in the dumpster? And then I look in God's house, and we got one broke in here. So evidently, because it's not working today, so we promise you next week the TV will be working. Praise God. Amen. I don't know if Agent G is going to do it or if one of you want to pay for it. That's okay. Hey, just $800 or $900, we can put one back up on the wall there. So if you want to do that, God bless you. Amen. If you want to buy me one, God bless you as well. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. I'm so glad you are here. Amen. Would you take a moment and just come on, kind of high five in the air somebody. Look across the church. Come on, just wave at somebody. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Listen, the enemy thought that he could snuff out our gathering together. Come on. He did. He thought that he could discourage the church. But you know what? I feel God's presence here this morning. I really do. And I'm like David. I was glad when they said unto me, come on, church, let us go to the house of the Lord. It was 29 years ago. I'm going back in time today. It was 29 years ago. Pastor Joy and I were just hitting our 30s. Come on, I was 30 and she was 28. Amen. Pastor Josh, who just led you in that original song, was 9 years old. Abigail was ready for the first grade. So it was a while ago. Somebody say a while ago. It was quite a while ago, and we had graduated from Bible college. And in faith, we had loaded up a big U-Haul truck and come from the sunny state of Florida in the central part. And we moved back to North Carolina to take our first assignment after being, here we go, educated. Somebody say educated. We were educated in an Assemblies of God University. We were educated, but guess what? We weren't trained. Amen. How many of you know there's a difference? We were educated, but we were not trained. And by God's grace and mercy, he would bring us to a place of service that would provide for us a brand new school, not the University of Southeastern in Lakeland, Florida, but he would provide for us a brand new school. How many of y'all been there? The School of Hard Knocks. Come on, amen. The School of Hard Knocks, where our lives would be molded, our lives would be shaped for our future, for the days where we would become pastors of this church right here. I look back and I thank God for his amazing grace and his tender mercy that he enabled me to pastor this church and go through on-the-job training. Somebody say OJT. Come on. On-the-job training. God allowed me, a novice in the faith, really, to come and to be your pastor 28 years ago. We were in a small church in Northampton County. We were not too far from here. And it was a family church. In other words, everybody in the church was kin. How many of y'all been to one of them churches before? Amen. Where you're really not the pastor, the guys in the family are. Come on. Amen. You understand that? But anyway, we were doing the best we could, and we were doing the best we could to move that church where? Forward. But it was rather challenging. We had pastored the same church prior to going off to school, and 4 years of our lives were spent leading the best way, you know, we knew how, and God in his providence had brought us back here, and we had, again, done the very best we could. That church actually had sat idle for 4 years. They had pastors to come and preach. They had some interim leadership, but it had sat idle for 4 years. No pastor to come and to be their leader. And so we come back now 4 years later, arrive back on that assignment, and we begin to serve, reaching out to the community once again, looking for prospects to take this church where? Forward. Forward to a new place. And really, it was more or less one small connected family. And we did the best we could. We did the best we could in that season of our life. Yet something has to happen. Hear this. This is for you too. Something has to happen in you before something can happen through you. Come on, let me say that one more time. Something has to happen inside of you before something can happen through you. Paul told the Philippian believers this. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 12 to 13, you're going to hear this verse over and over this morning, not because I've forgotten it, but because I want you to have it sealed by the Holy Spirit on your heart. Some of you need to hear this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, check this out, continue to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God, hear this, for it is God who works in you to will and to act. Somebody say to will and to act. To will and to act in order that he might do what? Fulfill his purpose. God has a purpose in every life that is seated here today. God has a purpose in every life of those of you who are watching today online. And he's always constantly willing, and he's always constantly acting. It is a process, honey. Amen. It's not an event. You don't get to the place where you come to Jesus and you're born again, and all of a sudden you wake up the next day and you're fully grown and discipled and mature. It doesn't work that way. It is a process. And can I just tell you something right now? God's using COVID-19 to help us. God's using riots in the streets. He'll use it to help us. God used the death of your blessed little puppy dog to help you. God's going to use the death or the tragedy that happened in your family 10 years ago when someone got killed to help you. Why? Because all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. It's a process. It's not an event. God is always seeking to will and to act. And he's always helping us to work out that relationship that we have with him. He's always helping us to work it out in our own lives, our own journey, our own spiritual progression first. Yes, his ultimate goal is salvation. But there's a tremendous experience that awaits all of us who totally surrender our lives to Jesus Christ in salvation. Hear me, it's called lordship. Amen. There's a major difference in salvation and lordship. Salvation costs you nothing. Check out the cross. It was on the cross Jesus died. He freely gave his life and shed his blood so that you might have eternal life. And guess what? It is free. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God. You've received the gift of God of salvation freely. Salvation costs you nothing. Nay, nay. Okay? But can I just tell you something? Lordship will cost you your life. Now, some of y'all let that sink in for just a second. Salvation costs you nothing. But lordship, full discipleship, following after the ways of the Lord will cost you your life. Amen? You don't have to do it. You don't have to mature. You can be a spiritual baby if you want to. You can live your entire life. Just cash in on the insurance policy of God called salvation and go to heaven, and you will. But you're going to miss out on so much if you don't allow God. Oh, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. If you don't allow God to disciple you, to train you, to equip you, to teach you. Amen? You'll miss out on so much. Salvation costs you nothing. Discipleship costs you your life. Becoming like Jesus as you work on your own salvation can be painful. It can be sacrificial. It can be selfless and the like. But the results are fulfilled destinies, amen, both in your life and in the lives of others. Verse 13 again says, God is working in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. We may have been in the university, and God used some circumstances to change us for his purposes as we led that little congregation almost 30 years ago. It was a typical Sunday morning. Some of you have heard this story. It was a typical Sunday morning, just, you know, going through the motions, so to speak. And how many of you know it's Sunday? Next thing you know, it's Wednesday, and here we are at the weekend again. We were just going through life week after week, month after month, year after year. Typical Sunday morning, 10 people or so at the church, and the back doors of the church creaked. None of us in that little crowd had sense enough to get a little WD-40 and just put it on the joints, on the hinges, to stop that door from creaking. And all heads turned back to see who in the world's coming in late. And it was a family. It was an unusual family. A Caucasian father, a Native American mother, a few kids that apparently were a combination of the two. And then a little girl who stood out in the pack. She was definitely African American. The service was tense that day. I'll never forget it. No one was comfortable. Not even me. I wasn't comfortable. This is different. Everyone wondered, why are they here? This is our church. You ever been to a church like that? Come on. Everybody wondered, why are they here? This is our church. And I never will forget, we got home that day, long before the days of cell phones and things like that. We got home that day, and our telephone rang one call after another with the same question. Pastor, what are you going to do about this? And you know what I said to them? I said, oh, don't you worry. I will take care of it. Amen. I'll take care of it. I called my leadership. I told them, we got a problem at our church. He said, what's wrong? He was what I am today. I'm a presbyter. I have 39 churches, 80 ministers under my care. He called me. I called him in that day, the presbyter. I said, hey, you got to help me, man. He said, what's wrong? I said, some people of color came to our church on Sunday. I didn't say it that kind. And he said to me, I never will forget it. He's in heaven now, thank God for his grace. But this is what he said to me. We can't have that. He was a man that people looked up to. If I called his name, a lot of you would know him. He was my pastor. He was my presbyter. He was one that people looked up to. And when I told him what had happened in our little church of a dozen people that day, he said, oh, we can't have that. I said, well, what do I do? And he told me what to do. So I did it. The very next day, what comes after Sunday? Monday, I gathered one leader in my church And I got in the car and I drove to the neighboring city and I knocked on the door to this family's house that had visited the church. And I said, hey, can I have a word with you guys? And the wife, she was kind. She dismissed herself to the backyard to hang out clothes because they had a washing machine, but they didn't have a dryer. Later on, in fact, she testified to that standing in this pulpit probably 15 years after that. She said, when I opened the door and I saw Pastor Wallace, she said, I knew why he was there. She said, I felt the tension the day before in the worship service. And I knew why he was coming to knock on my door. And she said, I was going to be a submissive wife and let my husband handle it. So I dismissed myself and let my husband, the head of the house, handle this. And I went to hang out clothes. But she said, with every time I hung up a garment, she said, every time I squeezed a clothespin, I said, Father, change that man. Father, change that man. Can I tell you something? The Father changed this man. Amen. Because you see, God knew that he had an assignment for me to come to a little town called Ahoskie, North Carolina, where there's about a 70-30% ratio of African Americans over others. God knew that he had to do something in my heart. In my heart. He knew it. And so this woman prays for me in the backyard while I'm on the inside of her house telling her husband in the most cowardly kind of way, it wouldn't be a good idea for you and your family to come back to our church next week. You know, as I found out more about the story, you know what I discovered about that family? They were a family who were in the ministry. They had pastored a church, and they were released from that church in a very deep hurt. And they were only coming to our church because they were wounded and needed some love. As I found out that story, all those years later, I wept. Many times I've thought about this. Many times I've found the image of that little girl in pink, dressed up, all dressed up and no place to go. That was the title of my second book. I wrote about it. I chronicled this story in that book. Many times I see that little girl's image and I thank God. I thank God because you know what? If God had not have gotten a hold of the awful snare and spiritual bondage of prejudice and racism in my life, you know what I could have done? I could have done more than cowardly say to someone, you're not welcome here. I could have offended someone in a deeper way. You know what? I know what we like to do. We like to compartmentalize sin. We like to make this sin worse than that one and this sin bigger than that one. Can I just tell you something? Sin is sin. Amen? Sin is sin. Sin was what you watched on television just this past week when a man who stuck his knee on the neck of another man and held it there for some 8 minutes and a half. That is sin. But you know what else is sin? For you to judge him and cast him into outer darkness and say he's not worthy of a Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's just as bad because sin is sin. You better pray for that man because you know what? He needs the mercy of God based on what I saw. Thank God for T.D. Jakes. If you haven't listened to T.D. Jakes and his take on this thing, you owe yourself about 15 minutes to search him out on Facebook and sit still with a cup of coffee and listen to the leading black Pentecostal man in this nation tell you how he feels about it. It'll bring you to tears. You didn't know it this morning, but there's somebody over here strumming a guitar, singing and leading worship in you, who stepped over here a few minutes before service started and took a piece of tape and a black Sharpie and wrote BLM on his guitar. You know what that stands for? Black Lives Matter. Because you know what? Black lives do matter. And then you got that person that wants to argue with you, all lives matter. Yeah, they do. But it seems, as I said in my Wednesday broadcast, it seems like there's an amazing disproportionate in status, the numbers, amazingly disproportionate in the number of black men that are killed in this nation. And if you do the studies, guess what? Who's killing the most of them? Their own kind. blacks are killing blacks. Yes, police officers are killing blacks. Yes, whites are killing blacks, and blacks are killing whites. We've got a sin problem in this nation. And unless we get a fresh fire and a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, you know what I said to Pastor Josh on the way to church this morning? I said, you know what I feel like today when I'm watching television? I feel like I'm watching other countries, because many times I've sat and I've looked at my television and I've watched the nations of this earth go crazy in the streets and do crazy things to each other and tear up their buildings that they were buying from just a few days ago and demolish things and flip over cars and hurt people. And now we're doing that in America. The nation that says, in God we trust. We even stamp it on our money. Amen? We're the nation that's gone crazy. And unless there's a sovereign move of God, hear me, church, Jesus is the only answer. And what you need to do and what I need to do is constantly let ourselves understand that God is working in you to will and to act. He's just working on you and me, one soul at a time. Thank God for the day when I would read the Word of God and I would read that scripture in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, or male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Ghost would say, neither black nor white. See? I would read scriptures like that after I cowardly told that family, you can't come back to our church. I would read scriptures like that, man, and it would eat my lunch. And in repentance, I came to God, and I allowed Him to wash me with the water of His Word. And I allowed Him to get a hold of my heart and to fully surrender myself to Him. And that's what has to happen over and over and over again. It has to happen. God would use this very family, this little family that came to our church. He would use this very family to mold and to shape me for the man of God that He called me to be. And I thank God for that. I also look back in my life, and some of you have heard me mention this before. I look back in my life and I see seasons of time where I remember. I remember hanging around my grandfather's store as a boy. I remember helping him, you know. He paid me a nickel. How many of y'all ever worked for a nickel? Come on. I remember getting paid a nickel. I remember him reaching down in that pocket and just, you know, pulling out a huge... My granddaddy had change, man. He had a wallet that had a chain on it. How many of y'all remember them? Come on. He had a chain on that wallet. But in that other pocket, man, he had enough. My granddaddy had his pants down before that was even popular. Amen? He did. His pants were hanging down, not because he wanted them to hang down or it was a part of his cultural style. It was hanging down because he had about $15 worth of quarters, nickels, dimes, and pennies in his pocket. And he reached down in that pocket and come to pay me. And I would see quarters laying there, and he'd give me a nickel. He said, you did a good job. Amen. And I worked in that little country store, and I watched my grandfather and how he interacted with people. He had every kind of person come to that country store. 2 for-a-penny cookies and hoop cheese. Come on, somebody. A 10-cent Baby Ruth that looked like a billy stick. Amen. Look like you could beat somebody with it. Now you pay $1.50 or $2 for one that's about that long. Looks like a little dog poop or something. Little teeny thing. Yeah, I realize I'm online. Bless y'all. Glad to be at Carpenter Shop Church. But my grandfather trained me. He didn't educate me. He trained me on how you interact with people. And I can't help, Josh, but think that the anointing, the mantle on my grandfather's shoulders fell on mine. And he would teach me how to love people. And so I would read the Word of God and I would see those Galatian scriptures, and the Holy Spirit would do His work and tell me, you cannot lead like this. And I came here and I began to establish a ministry here, Carpenter Shop International Church. Some of you will remember this, some of you won't. The church where all are welcome. And look at what God's done. Look at what God's done. God has enabled us to build a multicultural church, one of the strongest multicultural churches east of 95. And we thank God for that. God made some major changes in my heart. Why? Because He was at work to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purposes inside my life. I just remember those experiences over and over and over again, how the Holy Spirit would deal with me as He was pulling that awful snare of prejudice out of my heart. Amen? God is a good God. Come on, somebody say He's a good God. He's willing and He's working on our lives as we avail ourselves to Him for the work of what? The work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit of God. Pastor Anoli spent a few minutes on that just a few minutes ago. The work of what? The Spirit of God. That awesome gift. It is a gift to us to mold us, to shape us, to empower us. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Verses 2 to 4, the Bible says there were 120 people gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem, and that they were there for the purpose of waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for the gift. Waiting for that which the Father had promised. And suddenly, I love that word, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind come from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. As you read this passage, you should underscore three words: wind, fire, and filled. These are powerful words. It says it filled them with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were filled with the Spirit of God. I love what the New Living Translation says of Romans 8, verse 11. Look at what it says. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives inside of you. You are created to house the presence of God. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. When you get the Spirit of God in you, you get the potential, listen, for all of the divine attributes of God to be active in your life. What an amazing thing. The attributes of God. In other words, now that the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of me, I get to see manifested in my life, if I allow Him to do that in the time that He is willing and acting. Are you keeping up with me here? He's willing and He's acting all the time in our life. And what is He willing and acting to do? He's willing and acting to allow those divine attributes to come alive in my life and in yours. You got to go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Beloved, I love it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he that loveth is born of God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. You know why? Because God is love. You can't put your knee on a man's neck to death and say you love God. You can't do it. The love of God will be manifested in the hearts of those who have lived their lives for the sake of the gospel. And the Spirit of God begins to manifest love. I've been praying for this police officer. I've been praying the Holy Ghost would visit him. You know, you can, people pointing fingers, casting him into hell and the outer darkness. Anybody ever read anything by a man called the Apostle Paul? Okay. If you ever read anything about Paul, you know what Paul did? Paul, with the book of Acts says, with breathings, every breath that came out of his mouth, it was against the church. Paul was breathing with slaughtering comments, the desires that he had to take away those who were following in the way. But the fire and the light of the Holy Spirit shone upon him when he was on the road to Damascus. And the Lord said, hey, let me give you a lesson, okay? Let me show you what blindness is all about, okay? And God carried out a narrative in his life and totally changed this man so that he would be born again and be responsible for a majority of the New Testament. Come on, somebody. Y'all ought to be shouting me down this morning. Here's a man who was changed. You need to pray for this police officer. Pray for all four of them. Now, you know what? You say, well, Pastor, you don't act like you want justice. I do want justice. I do want justice. If he's guilty, he's guilty. And guess what? If you do the crime, you need to do the time, okay? Justice needs to come for this family and for this nation. It needs to happen. But you still need to pray for him. Because all of the happenings on earth, whether he goes to prison or whether he is given the death sentence or whatever, all of the happenings on earth are one thing, but the happenings in the heavens are what matters. So you need to pray for this police officer. Probably not a lot of people are. And certainly you need to pray for the family of George Floyd. My goodness. Cannot even let that wrap around my mind what those folks are going through. But when we come to Jesus and the Holy Spirit begins to work in us, I've already given you one example of what the Holy Spirit can do in the life of your pastor, who would not be standing here today were it not for the grace and the mercy of God, who would have never led a church, carpenter shop, the church where all are welcome, who would never enjoy the blessings of multicultural and diversity every week of my life, if God had not done a sovereign work of the Spirit in my heart. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what God does. He puts love inside of us. What kind of love? Agape love. Selfless love. Sacrificial love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. I got joy. Amen. Man had her 38 years. Come on, somebody. But he gives us a joy that comes from the Spirit. Amen. That means you might not be happy, but you can have joy. Come on. You might not make him be happy. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And the fruit of the Spirit is forbearance. Are you able to forbear people's actions against you? Are you able to forgive them? The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit of God, we sang about it this morning, goodness and faithfulness. And then verse 23 says the fruit of the Spirit. See, these are the things that we get to have flowing through our lives so that we can be a faithful witness on this earth. Gentleness, self-control. Verse 23 says, against such things there's no law. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus, listen to this, he's talking about you. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And since we live by the Spirit, man, this is a tall order right here, verse 25. And since we live by the Spirit, he's telling us in a kind and gentle way, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. You need to allow the Spirit of God to order your steps and your actions and your comments. How many of you saw my Facebook post this past week? Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because I was about to rant. Come on, did you see that one? I was about to rant and the Holy Ghost said, delete. I said, okay, I'll delete it. But I'm still mad. God said, I know you're mad. That's why you're getting ready to rant. But talk to me about it. Don't talk to the world about it. You're a pastor. I said, okay, Lord. Thank God for the delete button. And the delete button will never happen unless you're keeping in step with the Spirit. I see some of the things some of y'all put up there, and I think, man, what they doing? What they doing? I sound like I'm from the north. What you doing? You need to hit delete, man. Don't put that on the Facebook page. But you got to keep in step with the Spirit. What those believers received that day on the day of Pentecost was a symbolic, here we go, a symbolic presence of wind and fire. It was the Spirit of God. The wind was a symbol of God as provider. We talked about that in our March series. Look what the wind blew in. Remember that one? We talked about the wind as a symbol of provision, just as he did in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament when he blew a southwest wind and he made the quail come down and they grabbed all they could grab and God was provider. So wind was a symbol of God's provision. And then there's a symbol of fire. What is the fire? What is fire a symbol of? Fire is a symbol of purification. Fire purifies. Fire burns out the dross. The Holy Spirit in your life will cause you to say, don't post that. The Holy Spirit will purify your thought life. The Holy Spirit will clean you up from the inside out. The Holy Spirit will do His work as the fire of His presence will burn away the dross in your life. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And what we need is a fresh wind and a fire upon us today as a church that is alive in the most troublesome times we have seen in this generation. If you'd have told me we'd be where we are right now, I'd have said, man, you done lost your mind. I'd have gone back in time and said, what's wrong with you, Willis? That's been a while ago. It's been a while ago, but I've seen it on TV. You know why? Because we're watching old stuff on TV. They ain't making nothing new, okay? Anything you watching on TV has been played before, all right? God is working in a most troublesome time, this pandemic, and now this thing that has happened in America just this past week. You know what it's doing? It sure is shutting the COVID virus down. Nobody's paying any attention. Threw it in the back seat. Now the whole nation and the whole world is not talking about the virus. They're talking about what happened to George. And rightfully so. And my prayer is that God would use this. And my prayer is that God send the wind of your presence. Send the fire of your presence upon the church. The church needs revival, beloved. The church needs revival. The church needs to be awakened. The church needs to be shaken. We're filled with the natural man until we come to Jesus in salvation. And then we are filled with the supernatural, where we can experience the joy of the Holy Spirit and the love and the peace and the gentleness and the faithfulness and the self-control and all these things. And can I just be honest with you? Sometimes we don't do a good job with it. I don't. That's why he ends that little narrative and says, what do you need to do? Keep in step. Keep in step with the Spirit of God. Man, if you and I were to make that our prayer, Lord, today, let me keep in step with your Spirit. Every day would be a different day. Where we would say no to the natural man and yes to the supernatural man. It would be more of him, come on, and less of me. More of him and less of me. That needs to happen over and over and over again. We have to deal with the sin nature. We have to deal with the flesh. We have to be transformed by the power of the gospel and set free from the dominion of sin in our lives. We need one of those suddenly moments, and suddenly the body of Christ was moved with compassion, and suddenly the revival spirit that many have prayed for has hit the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America. And suddenly the sound of a mighty rushing wind has come and filled the houses of worship where they are setting. And suddenly there are pillars of fire that are falling down on the church, and the church is being purified and cleaned up. That's what we need. We need a suddenly. We need a suddenly moment in the church. We need a suddenly moment in our lives. I had a suddenly moment in my life concerning that little narrative that I shared with you earlier in the message. If it hadn't been for that suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke and said with Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond nor free. And the Holy Spirit said, and black or white.
And I begin to look at people in a different light. People. Humanity. People created after the image and the likeness of God. They all matter. We all matter. Every one of us. We matter. As we come to a close today, that same Holy Spirit that spoke to me 29 years ago and reminded me, Wallace, there's a sin that is resident in your heart. You say, how'd you get that? I thought you said you hung around your granddaddy's store. I thought you said the mantle of his presence fell upon you. How'd you get that spirit? I got it from the world. I got it from socialized behavior. There's people in this room that have lived through things like this. You sit here and you sit here. Okay? You can't drink from this fountain. You can, but you can't. There's people in this room who live through that. Socialized behaviors. Now we're here in social distance. Let me just give you a warning. Don't you socially distance yourself from the Holy Ghost. Don't you get 6 feet away from Him. You keep in step with Him. You hear what the Spirit says. And get infected by Him. And I promise you, you'll see things different in your life and the lives of those who are around you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and convict you today. If you're watching online, maybe, just maybe, you're watching online and maybe your attitude's been wrong. I look at what people post. Maybe your attitude's been wrong in the whole deal. Maybe you need to let the Holy Spirit speak to you today and give Him your selfishness. Maybe you need to give Him your pride. Maybe you need to give Him your arrogance and your prejudice. Maybe you need to give Him your deceit, the things that you're keeping secret. Maybe you need to give Him anything that's holding you back from living that life. I love it. Don't miss this, guys. Living that life of peace and fulfillment. Let the wind blow. Can I just read from my notes for a minute? Okay. Let the wind blow. Let the fire fall. Let the Lord work in you. Because just as Paul in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, continue, oh man, I feel the Holy Spirit. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act. You know what that word to will means? I looked it up. It means for God to desire and to design. He's trying to will in your life. It means He's trying to desire and design something in your life. He's trying to will, and then the next word is to work in the King James, or to act. It means that God is simply being operative. He's moving. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God hovered. Can I just tell you, He's hovering today across the church. He's looking for a place to find residence and make His home. Come on, somebody. He's looking for a place to live and to dwell, because you're His temple. I'm His temple. Listen, if you're watching, come on, comment below. Pastor, you're reading my mail today. Just make a comment in the box below. Make a comment. Sign the thing at the bottom. We'll call you this week and pray for you, I promise you. Father, forgive us of all sin. Wash us clean. Give us a respect for life. Give us compassion for George and his family. Help us to realize how important it is for us to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Or we could be guilty of falling short of your glory for us, as others have done this week and are still doing. Father, would you please, come on, pray with me, church. Would you please bring peace to the United States of America? Would you please, in every city, in Minnesota, in St. Paul, in Charlotte, in New York, in Los Angeles, in Chicago, would you please, God, in every city in America, would you bring peace? Would you hear the church today crying out for you to bring peace, Father? In the name of Jesus, we speak peace, Lord. Peace, 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 God. Let it be so. In the strong name of Jesus. Lord, be with our justice system. Let them act rightfully and accordingly, according to this crime that was committed. Lord, let it be done. You're a just God. Guide this process, I pray, in Jesus' name. God, guide this nation. I pray for the president and the cabinet and all of the leading officials who govern this country, for our state and our nation, God. Father, may you allow us to see the winds and the fire of Pentecost once again sweep this nation, because the church is alive and recharged and renewed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, God. Move by your Spirit. Move by your Spirit. Move by your Spirit, God. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's stand together. Come on, some of you might need to want to make yourself away to the altar this morning. Come on, stand in his presence. You can come and come on, just fill this altar up this morning. Let's cry out to him. Come on, let's cry out to him. Get out of your seat and come. Find a place and lift your hands. Lift your hands to God and ask for the Holy Spirit to release the wind and the fire. You can have some distance between you. It's okay. Come on, just come one more time. Father, move by your Spirit. Move by your Spirit, God. Show us that you're the way maker today. Show us that you're the way maker today. Show us that you're the miracle worker. Amen. Show us today, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. They call you Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You worship you. You are to it all, Jesus. You wipe away our tears. You mend the broken heart. You're the answer to it all, Jesus. Even when I don't see it, you work.
Who you are, Lord. You're a way maker. You're a miracle worker. You're a promise keeper. You're a light in my darkness. That's who you are, God. Come on, give him one more hand, would you? That's who you are. Pastor Joy is coming to speak a blessing over you. I pray that the word of God will find a lodging place in your spirit, and that this week, somebody say this week, he'll remind you that he's at work in my life. Amen. He's working and willing to perfect those things that I need to give to him. And I need to keep in step with the Spirit of God. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Pastor Joy is coming to pray with us now. God bless you guys listening online. Thank you for being with us today at Carpenter Shop International Church.
What a word. What a word. Haven't we all been challenged? You know, a lot of times we think about prejudices, racism as color. It comes in a lot of different ways, doesn't it? And unfortunately, it takes something like George to take this to heart. Something that we should have been working on all the time, allowing God to change us, allowing God to fill us, allowing God to work through us. And you know what? It doesn't take burning down houses, turning over cars, and slashing paint across things. It doesn't take being angry. It takes getting to God and saying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, change me.
Yes.
And help me to draw people to you. Because you know what? The truth of the matter is, it's going to come from the Lord. It's got to come from the Lord. It's not in ourselves. It's nothing we can do in ourselves. You know, we know what socialism will do for us. We know what sitting under somebody's leadership will do to us when we hear and we hear and we hear negative things. It begins to embed in us and it grows in us. So we know that that's not the answer. The answer is the Lord when he fully changes us and when we allow him to change us. Let's pray a blessing over our lives before we leave. Thank you, Lord, for the message today. Thank you, Lord, that you are changing us daily. Lord, it's not something or somewhere we get to and become comfortable. It's somewhere that we're following you and we're constantly working toward you, closer to you, less of ourselves, but closer to you. And that way, Lord, we can become like you. You can change our bitterness, our anger, our disappointments, and you can work through us to love others in the way they should be loved, to honor others in the way they should be honored, to show respect in the way it should be respected. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those that have gathered and those that are listening via internet. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them through the week ahead, that you would give them favor in their jobs, favor from their neighbors even and from other people. Lord, begin the change in us so that others can see. Lord, let it be said, hey, what's up with her? She's acting so different. I've never seen her this kind. I've never seen her this nice. I've never seen her reach out to others. God, let us change so much that others would see and know that it's coming from you. Lord, anoint us with your Holy Spirit to walk in the paths that you have chosen for us. Lord, let us not judge others, but let us walk firmly ahead, knowing that you're the one who judges. You're the one who takes revenge. And Lord, we pray, Lord, over not only our families, but the families that have been affected and the families in the United States now that are just experiencing such turmoil, such anger, such disappointment. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just engulf them with a peace, Lord, that only you can give. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Please allow our ushers to help you as you're released from the building today. Please don't congregate in the foyer. We're doing our best to honor social distancing presently. So get outside of the building, fellowship among yourselves in the fresh air. Amen. God bless you. Have a great, great day.